But if you serve an awesome God, let's give him praise and magnify his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, yes, 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 yes. If he's been better to you than anybody you know, give him some praise and thank him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. We're thrilled and delighted tonight to have Brother and Sister Emery here. Sister Emery's sitting right back here by my better half. Wave, Sister Emery. It's good to have celebrities in the house like you. We love and appreciate these people. What a blessing they are to the Apostolic Church. For years, they've been a tremendous blessing in evangelism, and they've been a blessing to us at ARC and in this pulpit. And now in their pastoring years, they are a little bit less traveled, somewhat less traveled, but it comes with pastoring. But we are so thrilled and delighted that they could come on a Thanksgiving week and be with us. Praise God. Some of the finest Christian people I've ever met in my life, just wonderful folks. And I guess probably one of this church's favorite preachers. Without a doubt. Brother Emery, we love you. We want you to come and make yourself at home tonight. Came further than anybody here to go to church tonight.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Does anybody serve a good God tonight? Anybody excited about being in the house of the Lord on a Thanksgiving week? And no better place to give thanks than in the house of the Lord. Amen. And good to have my wife with me. And we're going to visit my family that lives right over in Anniston, just about, 45 minutes or so from here, right on the I-20. And so it's been a while since I come home for holidays or anything like that. And they did call me for the conference, but I had already booked something, so I would have been here for that and maybe got a chance to do that. But so we missed ARC, and hopefully we can get back sometime soon. But it's always a pleasure and an honor. We are humbled and honored to be here. Seeing how the first time I preached was in the old building, and it was so packed in I couldn't breathe, and it was a rockin' sockin' church, and I'm glad that it's still that way today. Amen, amen. Because truly God never changes. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. God never changes. Amen. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That simply means he is who he says he is all the time. Amen. He doesn't change. And so I had a perfect little Thanksgiving message all prepared for you. And then I woke up about 4 o'clock this morning and was going to go back to sleep, get up at 5, but I decided to pray for a little bit. And I heard, are very impressed, and I'm hoping it's from the Lord. We'll see in just a minute. But he said, it is time to engage the enemy. And so I was going to kind of wrap that up and put a bow on it and be ready to let it loose on Sunday morning. That's where I try all my sermons out at home to see if they'll work. They say you're not supposed to preach anything new when you're out someplace. I've always broken all the rules. So I'd like to talk to you tonight out of Luke chapter 14, I'm sorry, and verse 28. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Thank you, Bishop and Sister setting for the hospitality and the hotel room, the basket. I want you to know that your pastor and wife are first-class people. Amen. They're out for no limits, and they came and preached for us. And all they said, well, who was that masked man? He just came and tore the place up, and so we appreciate them. He's always welcome to come, and need to get you to come back out again. Great. Since you've been gone, we remodeled the church and did a bunch of stuff and just trying to do what we can do to have revival. Amen. Amen. You never know what's going to cause God to move. Sometimes you think you've tried everything, and sometimes you overlook just the simple things. Sometimes just lifting your hands and say, I love you, Jesus, will cause a chain reaction in the atmosphere. Sometimes just ceasing from murmuring and complaining and learning how to be thankful for everything will cause God to turn and look and said, whatever he wants, give it to him right now. Whatever she needs, go and let her have it right now. You never know. Something very small could turn your situation around. Something very small, like a whispered praise, can just turn it around and cause God to lean his ear towards your voice. And then, as we used to say in the projects, it's on like a neck bone. Because then God is about ready to position himself to do a great thing in your life. Luke chapter 14, verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Least happy after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build but was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. And I've already kind of introduced my thought to you. And I just want to come to Birmingham on a Tuesday night, right before we stuff ourselves. We become more turkey than stuffed than the turkey that we stuffed, to remind you or to challenge you that it is time to engage the enemy. Amen. I don't know how to react to the lack of your response, so you may be seated. Jesus begins to talk to his audience in Luke about preparations for things unexpected. He warns us against rushing in to any given situation without giving it thorough thought. He begins very subtly with a man building a tower and beginning to build, lays a great foundation. But because he didn't think it all the way through, he found himself, after laying the foundation, without enough to simply finish it. Not build it, but finish it. And the good part about that is that we have a guarantee The Bible says that he that started a good work in us, he has already sat down and counted the cost. And the Bible says he will finish it. I wish I had some help early. God didn't start anything in your life that he cannot finish. God did not give us an anointing different from the anointing of the apostles. I wish I had some amens. God did not give us a watered down version of the Bible. God did not put us on the other side of the tracks in the kingdom of God. But what he started in us, he started a long time ago in an upper room. And I don't know about you, but we still got the same Holy Ghost power. We still serve the same power for God. And if God started it, he has got the power to finish it. He's already seen, amen, the begin from the ending and the end from the beginning. He's looked at it backwards and forth and side to side. And when he came down to this earth and he said, "It is finished," he had laid the foundation, and no foundation can any man lay than Jesus Christ. But not only is he the foundation, but he is the chief cornerstone. The foundation is the beginning, and the cornerstone or the capping stone is the ending thereof. And I come to preach to somebody today that God has not forgotten you. God has not forsaken you. He knows where you are, and if he started something in your life, he's going to finish what he started. So now is not the time to sit around and mope and just cry like God has forgotten you. Now is the time to remind God, you started something in me. It's time to get this thing finished. You started a work in me. Oh, I wish I had somebody to preach with me tonight. Paul writes to Timothy and reminds him, "Timothy, I see in you what I saw in your grandmother. I see in you what I saw in your mother. It is the same thing." He said, "It is in you also." He said, "I am persuaded that it is in you that same power, that same faith." I wish somebody help me preach today. It was passed down from his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. I may have those flipped around, but you can read it for yourself. I come to tell you, friend, that we have the same apostolic anointing passed down, amen, from generation to generation. Oh, come on here, son. I'm talking about, I don't care how many thousands of years that it's been. We have the same apostolic anointing. We have the same apostolic doctrine. We have the same apostolic power. And God will finish what he started. Somebody shout amen. Not only that, but he goes quickly on, and what king goeth to war against another king and does not sit down with the same critical thinking to see if not what he has can conquer what is coming against him? Now, he says he has 10,000, but the army that's coming against him is 20,000. But what is that to God? Because, see, with God, one could put 1,000 to flight. I can see you're not going to help me tonight. And two could put 10,000 to flight. Now, if we keep exponentially adding on, amen, and keep cubing it and multiplying it, I don't know what three. You got to multiply 10,000 times 10,000. What is that, 100,000? Y'all didn't go to school in Birmingham. Everybody's like, carry the one. I understand. And so, we must come to this juncture here that I felt a nudge in my spirit this morning, time to engage the enemy. So that tells me God has already sat down and drawn up a battle plan. He has already counted all that the enemy has. He's already considered now the way they wage war and what they have to come against us. And evidently he thinks, or evidently he knows, that we will be victorious because he would not send us into battle without knowing that we're going to be victorious before we even go into the battle. He's already counted the cost. I wish somebody help me preach. He already knows what's coming against him. And he says to me this morning, it is time to engage the enemy. So when I thought about that, I'm thinking like, okay, what does that mean? Now I want to know, how do I engage him? What do I do? What kind of battle is this going to be? Now the first thought that comes to my mind is that what is going on in the Middle East in the natural is a flashover of what's going on in the spirit world. Y'all need to hear what I'm about to preach to you right now. It is just like 9/11. What happened in September 9/11 was a flashover into the natural of things that was already going on in the spirit world. And as we see, there's a turn of events that are beginning to take place. The spirit of Antichrist will grow stronger and stronger. You will hear more people talking against God. I'm talking about God haters. We will begin to see more and more rebellion as we roll into 2030, because the devil is mobilizing his army. But in the church, for those that will fall in love with Jesus, while the whole world goes chasing after that which is not real, I am chasing after that which is real. As the world runs after that which is unholy, I'm chasing after that which is holy. When they run after that which is unrighteous, I don't know about you, but I'm chasing after Jesus. I want to lay a hold of eternal life. Somebody shout amen. Can I tell you that you can't live for God half-heartedly? It's a dangerous proposition. God has never been a straddle the fence kind of God. He has always been a all or nothing kind of God. And if you're going to be successful in God, amen, you cannot straddle the fence. You've got to plant both foot firmly on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You cannot be double-minded, for you will be unstable in all of your ways. You have got to make your mind up that I'm going to live for the Lord, and that I've got to do everything I can do to get as close to God as I can get. Because the battle will be won by those or that falling in love with him and drawing closer to him. Amen. And the other situation that we will have is an overall spirit of unity. I know it's going to fall down right there, because everybody has their own opinion about everything. Everybody has their own attitude about everything. Amen. But I want to let you know that if we don't get unified, we will not win this battle. We have got to be unified. We have got to, I'm going to have to preach here, all right? You just sit there and enjoy the fire. Amen. We have got to come underneath apostolic authority. And we've got to come underneath apostolic accountability. Amen. This man is your leader. Get behind him. This is your bishop. Amen. And say, Bishop, whatever you want to do, whatever is in thine heart to do for God, we are behind you 100%. I don't understand it. I don't know what it is, but I am unified. I am here to make this, the greatest church in Birmingham, Alabama. Can I preach to you? We will have to learn how to respect one another. It is time out for backbiting. It is time out for gossip. Don't act like I don't know where I am. It is time out for finger pointing. The only finger you need to point at is, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's not my father. It's not my mother. It's me, God. You need to do a work. I wish I had some help in this house. You need to work on me. I say, you need to work on me. Why, friend? Because we are living in the last days, and I do not want to be lost. So we got to love one another. We have to respect one another. We got to unify together. Even when you don't understand, stay in step. The walls of Jericho did not come down because they were powerful. They came down because the people were unified. Not one sword, not one bow, not one arrow, just unified. Walking around the city, seemed dumb. No stopping at Starbucks for a latte. Can I just walk through McDonald's and just get a Mac egg, McMuffin? No, everybody's got to walk in the same direction at the same time with the same heart and the same mind. And what happened is the walls of that city came tumbling down. Unity and love for God will be the things that will help us win the battle that is set before us. And the enemy will fall, because the whole deal is that God is the one that does the fighting. Yeah, I know you don't understand, but trust me on this. All right, you can trust me on this. Our God is not a sissy. I know you think that God is some gray-haired dude up there in heaven, possibly on dialysis machine, got cataracts, kidney functions, liver gone bad, barely getting along, got a solar power wheelchair just leaning, he got the pool. You know, it ain't like that, my friend. The Bible says that the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Watch. The Lord is a man of war. I know we talking about, you know, God is love, and he is. God so loved, and he did. God loves me, and he does. But don't you ever forget one thing, God is a man of war. And when God stands up, the Bible said, let the Lord arise and let his enemies, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Now, you may not know how powerful God is, but if God just stands up, his enemies start, you don't understand. He don't even have to pick up a sword. He just stands up. You're not going to help me, are you? He just stands up. And you got to understand something. The heavens of heavens cannot contain him. He is high and lifted up. He's sitting on a throne. His train fills the temple. He is a mighty God. He is... I think we forgot who we serve. We serve the one and only true God. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the El Shaddai. He is the El Shaddai, he is the Almighty God. There was no God formed before him. Neither will there be a God formed after him. He alone is God. He is the creator.
I wish somebody help me preach on a Tuesday night. I said, He is the creator. He is the Lord. He is the first. He is the last. He's the beginning. He is the end. He is the. Notice now, He didn't say He is a first. He is the first. He is not a beginning. He is the beginning. He is not a way. He is the way. I heard it once, and it's been spoken twice, that all power belongeth unto our God. So what are you afraid of? Oh, I caught you. What are you afraid of? Why is your head dragging down? If your God has all, oh, you're not hearing, all, do you know how to spell that? That's what one A and two L's. All power. All power. All power is in His hand. He has all dominion, all authority. Do you know what that means? Can I help you, darling? If heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool or the place of His feet, when He stands up, where is He standing? His feet is on the earth. That means everything in the earth is under His feet. Now, the Bible teaches every spirit by name is subject to the name of Jesus. And has become subject to us through His name. So everything that's under His feet, you're not getting it. It's under my feet. It's time to engage the enemy. I want you to turn your neighbor, slap your neighbor, high five, and say, it's time to engage the enemy. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you really believe that? Then why don't you have an armor on? I've never seen so many naked Christians in my life trying to wage war without any armors. No sword, no shield, no breastplate. Unprotected and wondering why the enemy seems to have power over you. The problem is that God gives you the armor, but Paul tells us explicitly, put ye on. In other words, God is not going to put the armor on for you. He will provide it for you, but you got to put your feet inside of the boot, baby. You got to gird up your own loins. You got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then you got to have the shield of faith that will quench every fiery dart of the wicked. And you got to pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. Amen. And you know what you got to do? You know what I do? I mentally and prayerfully do that every day. Because I understand there is a battle raging. And the enemy is not going to catch me naked. So when I get up in the morning, my feet hit the floor. It's hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And then the next thing is I put on the whole armor of God. Because when you're praying, you are engaging in spiritual warfare. Even if you're just saying hallelujah, something is happening in the spirit world. Even when you say thank you, Jesus, the heavens start reverberating. You're not helping me right now. And friend, we're out here praising and worshiping without an armor on. Have you lost your mind? You're out here running around in the spirit world with no armor. And you wonder why you don't feel good, don't feel right. Put the armor on. I said, put the armor on. And engage the enemy at the level where he's engaging you. You put the armor on and then you go crazy. You get a sword in your hand and you cut him coming and going. So the next time we begin to worship, put the